to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 421. I'm your host, Josh Wiener. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jared Mockery. And tonight, it's kind of going to be a free-flowing. We're going to hit the current topics and talk about the current landscape as we cover WWE from SmackDown all the way through possibly NXT tonight. So, as we venture into that journey, fellas, how the hell are you?
Well, I know we missed a day because we all kind of had life getting in the way, but looking forward to talking about some wrestling, some enjoyable stuff going on with WWE right now. And I think a lot of people know me, probably. I'm probably the smallest WWE fan out of the three of us. So for me to say that, that's saying something.
Well, I'm interested to see what we're going to be regaled with here, as Josh is going to deliver a plethora. Plethora, is that the right amount, Josh, of news?
Yes, not quite a buttload, but a plethora would be sufficient. So let's get things started kind of on a depressing note, because that's a good way to start. I'm going to read off a series of names, and I want you to each try to chime in and tell me what all these names have in common. And it's just one thing. Here's the list in alphabetical order. Asuka, Bobby Lashley, CM Punk, Charlotte Flair, Cora Jade, Cruz del Toro.
Oh, I know.
Dominic Mysterio, Drew McIntyre, Eric, JC Jane, Jimmy Uso, Raquel Rodriguez, Rhea Ripley, Seth Rollins, Shotzi, Sonya Deville, and Zelina Vega. That is 17 superstars.
Me, pick me.
That have one thing in common.
I think we can all tell, but I'll defer to Jarrett.
They might all be in the Hurt Locker.
Yes, they are currently on the injured list with a various plethora, we'll use that word again, of injuries. Now, some are closer to coming back than others because they've been injured for a lot longer. I would throw Sonya Deville in that category. I would imagine she would be back sometime this summer, as she is, I know, actively training in the gym and trying to get back to, you know, when people have knee surgery, they get ring ready, but at the same time, they have to have that mental trust in their knee and their body that they're going to be able to be, you know, go the way they want to. That's why you see Charlotte Flair with the intense training that she's doing. But 17 superstars currently on the injured list, and the machine just keeps on churning, and it's still entertaining television, but damn, this is a long list.
Yeah, and really, it's not exclusive to WWE. We've talked about it off and on before, AEW. I mean, my understanding is MJF's still a good while from coming back, and Adam Cole. I think there's a couple others, guys on the top end of the card that got hurt, so it kind of hindered the storylines that were going on.
That is a crazy, crazy list. And I know that Asuka, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, Zelina Vega, they were all booked for King and Queen of the Ring tournament matches and had to be pulled at the last minute because they were not medically cleared. So they booked something that they had a plan for, and then they immediately had to change those plans due to injury.
I mean, this is why you maintain a little bit of depth on your roster, but not to the point where you're leaving 50 people off of TV. It's good. It's good to have some, you know, a few on the bench, but geez, Louise.
All right. Well, let's get into some news headlines and also interweaving in current storylines and booking decisions and things of that nature. So let's kick things off by saying that Sammy Guevara's suspension is reportedly completed, but AEW is not really in a rush, I would say, to cycle him back into television programming, or as the normal phrasing would be, creative has nothing for you right now. Luckily, he has a small daughter that was recently born and he can tend to his family, but no current word on if or when Sammy will be back on television.
Yeah, because he had a real hot streak for a while, but we all saw it looked like some people were getting hurt in his matches. So I don't really want to speculate any much more than that. But I always seem to like his matches. But yeah, I mean, if that's part of it, then so be it. But it'll be interesting to see where he's at in a couple months.
And I mean, the guy can go too when he wants to. So I don't know if it's an attitude thing or if there's other stuff going on backstage, perhaps, but the time-honored slogan in wrestling is time shall tell.
This is true. Yeah, this most recent suspension was because of him kind of breaking Jeff Hardy's nose on that top rope maneuver. I can't even remember what he hit him with.
Yeah, but I thought there might have been a concussion, if I understand it right. And then he gave him the GTH after that, which is a blow to the head.
So we'll have to see how that advances moving forward. And meanwhile,
you mean like Will Ospreay did?
I'm sorry?
You mean like Will Ospreay did with Daniel Bryan? Are they going to suspend him? I doubt it.
I think one was kayfabe and the other one was legit.
Just trying to be a jerk.
Go watch some Gable material. That he's the king of jerks currently. Something that came out on SmackDown and kind of has had the IWC in a tizzy ever since is they announced Cody Rhodes' next challenger for the WWE title at King and Queen of the Ring, which, by the way, is a god-awful name for a PLE because I get tired of having to say King and Queen of the Ring tournaments PLE. Just call it Regal something, Royalty something. Stop making me have to say a mouthful of words. But anyway, I digress. They announced that Logan Paul is the next challenger for Cody at, you know, in Saudi at this PLE, and they called it champion versus champion, but they didn't say title for title. But both Cody and Logan gave promos as if they were going to be winning the other title if they win. Cody said he would become a Grand Slam champion. Logan Paul said he would be not really Logan two belts, but something equivalent to that. And I'm thinking, well, they sure as shit aren't making Logan Paul the WWE champion. So are they really giving Cody two belts, or is this just going to end in a schmoz? And why the hell would they make it title for title? That's not going to end in somebody winning both this is a whole big mess. And why would they do this?
I didn't see the Cody promo in question. You know, maybe he could say something to the tune of, well, I can prove that I can beat the U.S. champion and therefore, you know, I can claim to be that caliber. But I agree. I mean, if it's, I don't think it should be title for title, quite frankly, because I don't think Cody needs three belts. That's the type of thing Roman would probably go after, just off the top of my head.
Two belts. I think they're doing. He only has one.
Yeah. I guess you're right, but I think the reason why it's Logan Paul is because these Saudi shows do tend to be kind of standalone. I know they've changed some titles here and there, but I think it was when Logan Paul had his shot against Roman. Although I think that was a SummerSlam, if I recall correctly. But
nope,
it was one of those things. Show. Was a Saudi show? Okay.
Yep.
So, Crown yeah. Jewel. So, yep. Then even more so, he's a credible challenger that there will be some people watching, but I don't think anybody is going to seriously expect that Logan is going to win the title. So it's that kind of nice little blend of credible challenger who isn't necessarily a true threat, if that makes any sense.
Well, is he truly credible if no one believes he's going to win? Right. But yeah, it's most likely, I mean, they can save everybody by doing a schmoz here or something. There's absolutely no way, and I'm not going to do the Rock impression again this time. There's no way Cody's losing this, especially at a Saudi show. I'm just happy that I find both guys boring and I can go make a sandwich.
Yeah, but what if the bloodline interferes?
Be kind, rewind.
Way to bring it back from the 90s. Wow. Dug deep for that one. 30 years.
I was at my local Blockbuster the other day.
Wow, you were in Oregon?
What?
There's only one left.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think I missed something there.
Yeah, no, there's one left in Bend, Oregon. It's the original OG Blockbuster video, but that's another podcast. But anyway, I don't know what they're doing here. And, you know, how many times do we have to say, oh, LA Knight's the one that's going to take the title from Logan Paul, and now they're just going to make it possibly be Cody? What? I don't need a Justice for LA Knight hashtag, but, you know, it worked for the Divas, so who knows?
California anyway, lives matter.
What?
California lives matter.
Wow. Jared's on
You can
fire.
Direct your 10,000 word blog post to the Bacon Reverend on X.
All right. Let's swiftly move on. Kenny Omega has said he's undergoing surgery, quote, very soon. Kenny is doing Twitch streams when he's not in the emergency room cutting promos for Dynamite. And he spoke about how he will soon be undergoing surgery and is optimistic about returning to early AEW Omega form afterwards. His quote from the stream was, I did have to go back to the hospital. The good news is that I was able to get some pre-op stuff done. It's a double-edged sword. It's good news and bad news. The good news is I have a wonderful doctor, and he is someone who is at the top of his field. He's very hard to get appointments and surgeries with. However, he's done me a solid. I will actually be getting surgery very, very, very soon. Unfortunately for me, it means I have to leave town again. However, this guy is top in his field. Even though it's a major surgery, I do feel the most comfortable with this individual. Good luck to Kenny on his surgery, and hopefully he'll be able to come out the other side. If not for wrestling, then at least be a healthier version of himself.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. What I had to go through with my gut is probably just a tiny fraction compared to what he had to go through, and I still had to have a bag hooked up to my gut for a week or two. So yeah, I get well soon. All the best wishes in the world to him.
Just kind of joking here about a serious situation, but I'm guessing that doing him a solid meant Tony opened up the wallet a little bit to expedite things. I mean, which is great when you have those resources at your disposal, to help out your top stars. I mean, by all means. So like we're all saying, it'd be great to see him if he can come back. If not, just hope he's as healthy as possible.
Exactly. All right. Next up, Bryan Danielson's AEW contract expires before All In 2024 on August 25th. On a recent interview, he revealed that his deal is up before the All In pay-per-view in London, England. And he was asked what big moments he has left in his career before he retires from full-time competition. And he said, the big one is Wembley. I want to make it to Wembley. My contract actually expires before Wembley, but I want to make it to Wembley. I'm not sure if I'll make it, but one thing that would be a nice way to close everything out for me is to do my last match as a full-time wrestler at WrestleDream at the Tacoma Dome, because that's the arena I first saw my first ever wrestling show at. We are hurtling towards the tail end of Brian Danielson's full-time wrestling career. And even in another interview that I saw him in, or at least saw a clip of, when asked, you know, what does post full-time wrestler look like for you? Is it like wrestling 1 to 2, maybe 3 times a year? And he said, well, it's more being home with my family and maybe helping AEW behind the scenes, because if I'm going to do 1, 2, or 3 matches a year, I kind of still have to keep my body in ring shape for whenever those matches materialize. And he doesn't want to really go, you know, 100% and be in the gym all the time and having to keep up, you know, might as well just wrestle full time if he's going to do that. He's more concerned of being able to not be injured post, you know, wrestling career and be able to mix it up with his son as he gets older and, you know, keep up with his kids.
And, you know, I know the thing is that his contract will be up, but who's to say he couldn't sign a short-term one just for a couple of months? Who's to say he couldn't sign something that's more long-term, but part-time? You know, if I recall correctly, the exact phrasing he was using was as a full-time wrestler. Like you said, maybe he could still do like what Taker did for a while, only wrestle a couple times a year. Or, you know, you can put Brock into that discussion as well. So my hunch is he's going to do what he said. He'll probably have his last official match as a full-time guy. So a retirement match from full-time competition. And then he'll just pop up every now and then when there's a dream match to be had.
Did he say anything about who he wants his last match to be against?
No.
Okay.
Just that he wants it to be at that show at his hometown arena.
Geez, I wonder if he's putting whoever it is over.
And it would also make sense that maybe Tony Khan knew about this, so he booked that arena just for that purpose. Hey, you know, he saw his first match here and he's going to wrestle his final match here.
Certainly could be.
But what a hell of a career, though, if that's winding down. Jeez, man.
Right?
So many fantastic matches.
Yeah, he was the epitome of the guy, kind of like Mick Foley. You never thought he'd truly be a main eventer on a national scene, but yet he was.
For multiple promotions.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next news item. Back, we have an update again on Becky Lynch's WWE contract status, as well as a confirmation from the man herself. Becky Lynch is the reigning WWE World's Women's Champion, but her future in WWE is still uncertain. Fightful Select reports that the contract of the man is set to expire in early June of this year, which, going by the calendar, is 3 weeks away. Her husband Seth Rollins recently inked a new multi-year WWE contract. However, Lynch remains under her existing deal and has yet to agree to terms on a new contract. Discussions have continued between the two sides. However, as things currently stand, Lynch's deal with the company is scheduled and will expire in approximately 3 weeks' time. She appeared over the weekend at Sami Zayn's Netflix is a Joke show and confirmed that her contract expires in 3 weeks' time.
I think like Danielson, she's going to sign again because it just makes sense she'd stick around where her husband is. That's probably not it alone, but I think she's one of those people. She's probably a WWE lifer.
I was thinking about the timing of this and title match. Imagine, wonder if she's going to drop the title.
Well, I have her dropping the title, but not related to this.
Yeah.
It just helps my theory.
Right.
Oh my God. Rebecca Quinn is in the Impact Zone.
As long as she's not All Elite.
Mercedes Moné is your new TBS Women's Champion. Oh my God, what the hell? Is she doing here? No, I think she's going to resign. But how close to that third week will they go? What kind of game of chicken are they really playing?
She was supposed to take a break, wasn't she?
And yeah, I think she's... You
know, injury happened and she gets a title to hold things over. I mean, she's probably going to take a little bit of a break and then, you know, come back.
I think she wound up in the John Moxley situation when Punk got injured. And they were like, hey, before you go on that fishing trip, we need you to kind of be the glue that holds this shit together. So if you could put that on hold, yeah, that'd be great. No, my theory is that she was going to go on a break. Rhea got injured. They needed a credible champion to kind of take the reins while they quickly built somebody up. And she would put them over and then give that validity. And then maybe possibly resign, get that guaranteed money, and then take your little break and then be able to come back. So we'll see. All right, next news item. Dana White of UFC talks about combo event weekends where his Power Slap League would run on Fridays, UFC on Saturdays, and WWE on Sundays, which indicates that pay-per-views or premium live events would go back to Sunday nights at some point. Now, whether that means every single one of them, only when these quote-unquote combo event weekends happen, because I don't see that UFC runs the same event schedule that WWE does. So I don't know if this would be few and far between or what the hell is going on, but this falls under because both companies are under TKO and they're trying to do some combination event things. So thoughts on pay-per-views, possibly temporarily, partially, whatever the formula is, appearing on Sundays once again?
Well, that had been the time-honored tradition for the longest time. I always figured it was due to people being home most often on a Sunday night because it's the end of the weekend, the beginning of the work week for most people. So it just makes sense that that's when they would put something like that on, that it would be on a Sunday. It's why Super Bowl is usually on a Sunday. So I think that's really it more than anything. And I would tend to agree. It sounds more like maybe it's when they do the combo weekend, because for obvious reasons, when you're under the same umbrella, you wouldn't want to run a UFC and a WWE show on the same night, because that would be a combo breaker for, you know, N64 fans. But if that's what they're going to do, then I can understand the logic of it. For me, it doesn't really matter whether they're on Saturdays or Sundays because, you know, I have Peacock, so I can watch it whenever it's more convenient for me. But I think just there was a reason why a lot of pay-per-views were on a Sunday night, is because I think that's when they realized the biggest amount of audience was home.
That's my thought as well. And we talked about that kind of offline, thinking that, geez, everybody's home on a Sunday. They want to go out and drink on a Saturday, perhaps. Could be interesting with time zones and Sunday football. Maybe interesting. See how that goes. I know UFC runs a lot of fight night events on Saturdays, not only their pay-per-views. So that could be a conflict as well. I'll have to keep an eye on this one.
I kind of like the Saturday PLEs for WWE, whether it's brunch, lunch, dinner, whatever. But for the sole reason is, you know, let's say there's a crazy adrenaline rush type feeling coming off of PLE. You stay up late, you can't get to sleep, but then you got to go to work the next morning if it's a Sunday night. Well, fuck that. I like Saturdays and I can recoup on Sunday. So yeah, hopefully this won't be too often, but we'll have to see moving forward, I guess. Or maybe Dana's full of shit. Who knows? I can't even imagine his Power Slap thing is still a thing. To me, that's completely offensive. And you're running the risk of all these concussions. And how the fuck is this still legal? But I digress. WWE is taking measures to encourage U.S. crowds to replicate the fans' reactions from France. Oh, this has failure written all over it. Yeah. The WWE is hoping for future crowds to repeat the ring entrance for one particular WWE superstar from the Backlash show in France. Fightful Select is reporting that the ring entrance for main event Jey Uso was well received during Backlash, so much so that the company is encouraging future crowds, hoping that they replicate the cell phone flashlight routine for the crowd bobbing their arms up and down during the ring entrance for Jey Uso. The company will reportedly dim the lighting inside venues going forward during Jay's entrances, hoping this will help continue the trend. Yes, because we know from past history that anything that's force-fed to us goes over real well.
Yeah.
Just let it naturally happen.
Yeah.
If it does, it does. If it don't, it don't. Jesus.
Yeah, that sounds like the type of thing Vince would want to do, try to make people react the way you want, but you know, it was a pretty cool visual. So if it does catch on, okay, but you can't expect the crowd to do what you expect them to do.
They already tried to replicate that right after, and it failed miserably. But like you said, Josh, just let it happen. If it's going to happen, it'll take off. Maybe it takes a month or 2 months of shows and more people start doing it. But damn, it's like, yeah, you can't tell people what to do in the live experience. That never works.
And they have experience with doing shit like this and it not working. So why? Just why? You have your next couple of PLEs internationally. Just watch what they do and enjoy that. Okay, next. Jesse the Body Ventura is in negotiations with WWE for a Legends contract. Ventura recently had an interview on WABC 77 radio, and he was saying, quote, "I'm back negotiating with them. We're in talks right now. In fact, I have contracts with my attorney right now with the WWE. And I can only say that that's happened because of the change of direction in the company. We don't know right now fully what any role would be. They want to bring me back under their Legends deal. You know, I'm an old guy now, and you've got to have the Legends. And hell, if you go back to WrestleMania 1, there ain't too many of us alive anymore." Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that, you know, he is one of the documented guys, OG guys, that had beef with Vince way before any of this stuff came to light. And so now that Vince is no longer there, now Jesse Ventura is in negotiations for a Legends deal. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret. He had heat with Vince for a while, and I would think with somebody like him, he's not going to want to have too much of a restriction on him. Because, I mean, one thing about Jesse Ventura's career, you know, love him or hate him, the guy's basically done what he's wanted to do. And I certainly respect him for that. So I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see him attached, like maybe doing commentary for a video game or something like that. I think that'd be right up his alley. So yeah, we'll see how it works out. It's obviously he's probably not going to go to any other wrestling promotion, so might as well sign something with WWE.
It's kind of funny. Is they're going to get him on commentary again? Like, I don't know. I mean, hey, if they got a Legends deal, they can make some action figures of him. He gets some money. All good. Not going to hurt anybody.
Unless you give him a live mic too many times, then it could hurt something.
Well, this is true.
All right, and finally, in the news bracket portion, Comcast will be offering a new bundle of streaming services that includes Netflix, Peacock, and Apple TV+. Comcast CEO Brian Roberts announced during an investor conference today, May 14th, that a bundle featuring the three streaming services will be offered to Comcast customers in the near future. An exact date was not given, but Roberts did state that it will be at a vastly reduced price. It was also previously announced that Disney Plus, Max, and Hulu were going to be available to customers in a separate streaming bundle. So, can we call this Cable Wars Part 2? And as you know, Peacock is the home of the WWE Network. Netflix will be the home of Monday Night Raw beginning in 2025. And Apple TV Plus, I guess, hosts some documentaries that you could only see on that streaming service. So I don't even want to get into the whole cable breaking off into streaming services and now all these streaming services coming together to essentially offer cable. That's a whole nother night worth of a conversation. But since this is WWE related to a degree, thoughts on this announcement today?
It was only a matter of time. I mean, it cable as a whole is, I don't want to say dying, but it is losing viewers. Cable as a whole has massively gone down to just what it was a couple of years ago. A lot of the big dramas have gone to streaming services. So it only makes sense that there would be some sort of package that might combine the two. I do think we're getting to the point where the conventional cable company will not be the norm. You might even say that today's already here, but that everything pretty much across the board is going to go streaming sooner or later. So this is just another step towards it. This is like when you saw the cell phone and then you saw how small computers were getting and how they were, what do they used to call them? PDAs, personal digital assistant. You see how they were. It's like, okay, it's only a matter of time before these are going to become the same thing. And of course, Apple said, your wish is my command, made the iPhone. It's a similar thing.
Yeah, cable's definitely dying. It's kind of reverse psychology, isn't it? It's like going back the other way. I don't know what value there is with the streaming services bringing cable, but I don't know. All I know is that there's too many of them out there. There's too much segregation, and it's still, for now, cheaper to get cable and get stuff and pick a service. And I know buddies that they rotate stuff. It's like, well, stuff I want to watch right now is on Netflix, so I'll subscribe to that for a month. And then, well, I want to watch this now. Okay, we'll go over to Crave, which is another one in Canada that I don't think you all have access to. They'll go to Prime next. Like, it's, I don't know, it's people jumping all over the place to get what they want. And that begets things like Kodi, where you can get it all in one spot. Yeah, it's a mess. It's a giant freaking mess.
Yeah, which is why I said it would spawn its own conversation and its own hour-long podcast episode. Yeah. But we're not going to go there. So, moving on. So, Friday's SmackDown, last week's Raw, this week's Raw, and this week's SmackDown, and essentially the week after that, are kind of, I don't want to say overcrowded, but the main running theme are these matches in the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments that are ongoing. And while they make for good wrestling matches and good quality wrestling, I feel like storylines have had to suffer in the interim, which is ironic because storylines were what was pushing television towards these wrestling matches previously. And while some of these tournament matches have history to them, you know, obviously these injuries don't always let you play that hand. What do you guys think of the recent television being over inundated with the tournament matches? And while they are trying to keep some storylines moving forward, I feel like they're not fleshing out everything they could be if it was just regular programming. But at the same time, I'm also happy that these tournament matches are given more importance than in recent attempts at doing this tournament. For instance, in 2021, the Queen of the Ring tournament qualifiers were all 2 minutes or less, but they seem to be longer this time around and at least given more attention. So it's kind of a yin and yang thing going with this monopolizing television time. But what do you guys think?
I think part of this may have to do with the fact that we've got all kinds of injuries happening. We've just been through the draft where rosters have been shuffled. And with the exception of some core storylines, it's probably going to take a little bit of time to build some things back up again, so that we could be seeing a little bit of all of that kind of melded together. We've managed to move along the Bloodline storyline, for example, without Roman there, without The Rock there, but they've got stuff happening on the side. Stuff's changing around. We have, some new champions coming out of WrestleMania. So it's almost like a reset, and they have to start kind of laying that foundation again. So I think it's one of those things where we give it a little bit of time. I think, in Papa H, we trust. I think we'll get there. Not terribly concerned about it again, especially with kind of like a one-off pay-per-view like this. If we're still not building anything to the next big pay-per-view, I almost said the other three nasty letters, then I might start getting a little bit more concerned that they're not doing anything.
That's almost my exact mentality on this, is there are some people that were drafted that have not appeared on TV since being drafted. There are people who have just briefly appeared backstage since being drafted. But I'm like, well, they really got to push this King and Queen of the Ring tournament stuff. So let's get through Saudi and then see how we do coming out the other side. Because after that will be Money in the Bank build, and that's in Toronto.
Nice.
Things like Kiana James briefly appeared last night on Raw, and that was her first appearance since being drafted. Dijak, drafted to Raw from NXT, has yet to appear. And they did a vignette. They did some vignettes on SmackDown for people who were coming to SmackDown that haven't appeared yet. So at least they're trying to keep them fresh in your mind. I think post Saudi, I'm going to start keeping an eye out on people who have disappeared from television since being drafted or not being drafted, whatever the case may be. But yeah, as you said, we do trust in Papa H, and hopefully he's got a big old spreadsheet with people and storylines that he wants to get going once he's able to.
Now, Josh, Papa H has people that have spreadsheets.
This is true. Television dominated by these tournaments. Meanwhile, NXT keeps chugging along, and they're making not great, but really good and sensical television week after week after week. And tonight, I did not get to see it, but I saw some posts on X, and apparently Tony D'Angelo defeated Charlie Dempsey to become the new NXT Heritage Cup champion. And I like that because it at least followed, linear logic that these two factions were feuding. And as I stated from last week's wrap up, that the No Quarter Catch crew thought they had the advantage over the family because of their rules for the Heritage Cup, that you never know which challenger or which member of the faction that you may be facing as the challenger and who might be defending the Heritage Cup. So Tony D'Angelo did what Tony D'Angelo does, and he took out the other two members of the faction. I'm not saying that he did anything illegal or anything, but he beat up a couple of the other two members and only left Charlie Dempsey as the only healthy one to defend. So he kept the power in the family, if you know what I'm saying.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Forget about it. So Tony was able to defeat Charlie Dempsey, and we have a new champion. And like I said, they just do good television, and it's good to see. So I'm happy for some normalcy back in NXT, as they, you know, have spent the last year plus getting away from the NXT 2.0 garbage. So that being said, wrapping up a weekend of television, I know we didn't dive into a whole bunch, but any final thoughts?
No, I think we covered everything well, my opinion. So I think it's a good time to call it a night.
When's the next member of the Bloodline showing up? That's all I want to know, Josh.
Saudi? Toronto? I'm sure it's going to be a PLE. I can't imagine them doing it on a random SmackDown. Well, if it's although Saudi, Tama debuted on a random SmackDown, so who knows? Soon. How about that?
When will then be now? Soon.
Today was tomorrow, yesterday. Some changes are going to be forthcoming to the Wrestling Brethren podcast. I'm trying to work those out, flesh those out, because I feel we need to get back to our roots of incorporating some prime cut episodes. And so we're gonna debut some new formatting, some new episodes, some new content as we come up in the next 1 to 2 weeks, we'll say. Maybe around the time of the double weekend of PLE pay-per-views, or the PLE PPVs, whatever you want to say. So keep an ear and an eye out for that. But until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X at twbpshow. On Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax, and you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.